Okay, very much privileged to actually welcome Gareth. We've been talking a lot about transformation and about God's grace. And Gareth is an inspirational example of how God has worked and transformed. So it's my very great pleasure to introduce Gareth.
Thank you. You know, I used to speak in maybe 200, or my wife's very much one-to-one over coffee. Let me just take my shirt off. There's seven of us today, and it's a new number of a new beginning, and God wants to do a new thing. I'm challenged today. That's a good thing, because I'm speaking to seven people and not 100, because I'm used to maybe speaking to big numbers. Me and my wife are very different. I like to put the light on. She likes it off. I like the cups down. She likes them up. I like the telly loud. She likes it quiet. But that's what, you know, be so different. Seven of a new number, so I'm hoping God will do something new today as well. Thank you for inviting me to come and speak and that, and to share my story. If I can just share my testimony, a little bit of my past, how I come to meet with the Lord, and what the Lord is doing today in my life and what the Lord wants to do. Is that okay?
Yeah,
and I want to share a couple of scriptures, and the first scripture is out of 1 Timothy, verse 15, it says, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that reason I was shown mercy, so in that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ might display his immense patience as an example to those who believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the eternal King, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen." We sang about Jesus is the King of Kings, but he's the name above all names as well. And Jesus met with people in the Bible from different backgrounds, and for today as well, in marriage and in relationships with children, he's a name above mental health. He's a name above depression. He's the name above all these things. And, you know, I'd like to, you know, I grew up in a family of two sisters. And before I was born, my parents had twin girls. One died at birth, Louise. And then 2 years later, they decided to have another child. And I came along. By the time I was 12, my mother grew up as an orphan from a very dysfunctional family. My dad was one of four brothers from an hard-working family. My dad wanted power and status. My mother just wanted love. So there was this battle of light and darkness going on back then in my family. Through my dad being the youngest of four brothers, he was always on catch-up with his brothers, always trying to get his father's attention, and he never did. My dad was quite jealous and because his brothers always had everything. You know, when he was happy, our home, he was happy. But when he was sad, he was very sad. By the age of 12, through my dad, you know, through what had gone on in my dad's life and not knowing how to express himself and things that had happened in the family and the hurt and the pain that was being caused, my mother committed suicide. I was 12 at the time. My sister Joanne was 14. And we went into the care system for 4 years. After 4 years being in the care system, I came out of the care system at 17. At 16, and my sister was 18, and she'd had her own place. And I thought, you know, I can move back with my sister. I'd met a girl at this time, and she wasn't in the care system, but she gave me something whilst I was in care, and I used to run away from care. I always looked for acceptance on the streets and in gangs and everything that came with it. But I met her, she wasn't in care, but she gave me something that I longed for, which was love and acceptance, a feeling of self-worth. And I'd met Helen, and I'd gone through the care system, and my sister Joanne had her own place. So I thought I could come out to care now at 16, I'm going to live with my sister. My dad was back on the scene. I thought, everyone changes, everything could change. We got back together, and I was wrong. Within 18 months of moving back with my sister had contracted leukemia, and at the age of 19, she died of leukemia. So it was like I'd lost my mother, I'd lost my sister, So instead of having a vision and purpose, my dad was so mixed up. You know, I've come to forgive my father, you know, and I love my... He's going to be with the Lord now, which I'll go into in a little bit. But I've come to realise that it could so easily be me and my dad choosing my son in my shoes. It's only by the grace of God that God's broken our cycle and turned things around. But I thought everything would work out. And because I never had that father, I never had a vision, I just went back to the only thing I knew, which was the streets and drugs. And I went on like that for up until I was about, well, I was 38. I'd gone through the care system. I'd spent 12 years in prison. I'd gone from every drug that you could think of, looking for an answer, purpose, status, relationships, power, fast cars, clothing. And I was always up against a brick wall. It always left me empty and it always left me spent and burnt out. And at 38, I was living on the streets of Pontypridd. And a Christian lady in the probation service, she said to me one day, me and Gary were speaking on the way down, she said to me, "I believe in you, Gareth." And I hadn't heard somebody say that to me ever. Or if they had, I hadn't remembered it for a long time. And it gave me hope that somebody who I'd never met before believed in me. And she referred me to Teen Challenge, a Christian drug rehabilitation program. And I went into Teen Challenge, and there was no drinking, no smoking, no bad language, no women. Because men and women are separated whilst on the program so they can deal with themselves. There's no distractions. And there was none of that stuff there. No swearing, no drinking, no smoking. But there was something I'd never experienced before. It was like walking from a real dark world into light. There was men from all over the UK. I was speaking to one guy and I said to him, "Oh, can I have my medication early?" I said, "I'm really ill," because I was detoxing. He said, "Who do you think I am?" I said, "You're the doctor." He said, "I'm not the doctor, I'm on the programme." And I thought to myself, I stepped back and I looked at him and I said, "Do you know what?" I thought to myself, if God can do that for him, he can do that for me. And bless Nick, he's just coming up now, finishing his PhD as a psychiatric nurse in St Eslie. I said to him the other day, I said, I gave him a prophetic message that day when I seen him, and he laughed like, yeah, God's been wonderful. So that's a bit of my past, going into Teen Challenge. So that's it of my past. I don't really need to say anything else. So I'd like to speak a little bit now, when I met with Jesus, which is the most important thing. I went into Teen Challenge, and I seen the love of God in people, and I seen the healing hand of God and the forgiveness in other people. And I said this prayer about forgiveness and nothing happened. And I thought, well, I must be really bad, because they seem to be changing and they seem to have got it all together, but nothing's happening for me. And then a friend said to me, he said, "Gareth," he said, "go to your room in the night, shut the door behind the door, go on your knees and ask the Lord to forgive you. Not help you to forgive others, then you can forgive yourself. Because they made you into who you were." Because that was my old way of thinking. See, if I can forgive him, then I can forgive myself. Because it's my father who made me into who I am. Always blaming others. But the Lord's prayer was, "Forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us first." So I did. And God really done a miracle that night. I woke up the following morning. God had spoken to me in the night, it delivered me of an addiction. I walked into the quiet room the following morning, and the boys looked at me and they said to me, "You've changed." God can do that like that in an instant. Completely transform my life in one night, and what I needed transforming of and healing at that point, this is a continuous journey for the rest of my life, but that's what I needed of, was forgiveness. Forgiveness for me was a big thing. So I'd like to speak now about three people in the Bible, and I'd like to give them names. And it's taken from 1 Corinthians 13:13, and it says this. Small chapter. "And now these three remain, faith, hope and love, but the greatest of these is love." So I'd like to give one faith, one hope and one love, because God gives people new names. Abraham was Abraham. Simon was Peter. And I'd like to speak about these three people. It's out of the book of Mark, the people, chapter 5. It speaks of a demon-possessed man. It speaks of a lady with blood issues. And it speaks of Jairus' daughter being dead. And it says... in Mark chapter 5, verse 1. How long have I got?
Not much long. Like, I've got only one.
Chapter.
We get kicked out at
2. Right.
One.
Chapter 1.
Oh, one, sorry.
Chapter 5, verse 1. And it says that Jesus got out of a boat and he was immediately met by a demon-possessed man. I want to say today that Jesus can immediately meet you where you're at. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you've done, he can immediately meet you where you're at. He says this man was bound. He says he was bound in he was bound in guilt, he was bound in shame, he was a demon-possessed man. And I was homeless. I was naked, I was bound, in shame, I was bound in sin, I was bound in drugs. I was bound in the pain of unforgiveness. That's a massive one. Unforgiveness is a massive one. But I want to say in forgiveness there's great healing. It says that this man had no identity. What he was, see, and this was similar, very similar for my mother. Back in the 70s, 80s, and I'm sure some of you could go back a little bit further. With mental health, he was frowned upon and it was shame on the family. So what they used to do, they used to lock people away and try and forget about it. And I believe that's what they done with this demon-possessed man. It says that he was bound with chains, he was bound, shackled under the feet, and he was locked away in a tomb. And he had no identity. Since I've come to the Lord, the only cars I used to be in was police cars. He's blessed me a driving licence. I've never had a passport. The only place I used to go was once away with a club, down to Perth Call. He'd give me a passport. And I've never had a TV. He's given me a TV license. He's given me identity. He's given me all these things. God is wonderful. But God's given me more than that. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm a child of God and a son of God. I was a legion, a demon-possessed man, an outcast. But today, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But with Jesus, see, there's always more. It's like the Oliver Twist story. More, more. And I'd say, and that's what the devil would say. And I'd say to the devil, yeah, and I ain't leaving till I got what God's got for me in Jesus' name. Because it says that this guy would self-harm and he would cut himself with stones. I used to self-harm. He'd go out into the night and he'd scream at people. I used to go out into the night. People used to say to me, he's possessed. He's a man possessed, he is. I don't know if any of you have ever heard that saying. I'm sure you have. He's a man possessed, he is. And he was. I believe this man, Jesus met people, didn't he? Like Nicodemus said, Nicodemus came down from the tree. He said, Nathaniel, I saw you under the fig tree. He knew people before he actually got there. He knew them by name. He'd seen them because he's God. And I believe he knew about this man because it's not a coincidence with Jesus. And I believe this man cried out in his heart of hearts because God sees our hearts. And death was coming this way. But what death didn't realize was life was coming this way that day in a boat. And he stepped out of the boat and he met this man. The word says he hears the cries of the brokenhearted. Psalm, bless the Lord, O my soul, who heals all your diseases and forgives all your iniquities. You mentioned Matt Redman this morning. He's close to those who are crushed in spirit. The word says he met with Jesus and when he was found, he was in his right mind, fully clothed at Jesus' feet. I love that. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61 verse 3 says, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. NIV version says, a mantle of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Psalm 103 says, he who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, compassion, compassion. He saw the crowd and he had compassion. Woman in adultery, compassion. Tax collector. The cripple, the beggar, the leper. These people fell at Jesus' feet. And anyone who falls at Jesus' feet, when they stand, they're never the same again. Things happen. Hallelujah. If that demon-possessed man was you today, what would he look like? Would he look like Peter? Some might say you might look like Peter, mate. Would you look like Gary? This was me when I met with the Lord. I got a photo. This is my first photo. That was me. God is still in the business today of meeting with demon-possessed men. And I look at that and I think, wow, is that me? The story goes on to say that Jesus got into the boat. He wanted to follow him, the demon-possessed man. Jesus said, no, go and tell all your family and friends all that the Lord has done for you. And that's why I'm here today, just to share hope with you. Because that's the first name of hope. This man needed hope. It says then that Jesus got in the boat and he went to the other side. Because with Jesus, there's always more. The next lady I'd like to speak about is Faith, the next person. A Jewish lady who bled for 12 years, that's the next person. Jairus' servants were saying, come with us. And Jairus was saying, my daughter's dead. And Jesus was on his way to go and see her in Mark 5. And the crowd were pressing in. And it says, a Jewish lady who bled for 12 years. She'd spent everything she had trying to get well. But it left her feel burdened. Jesus turned round and he said to the crowd, who touched me? I believe Jesus knew who touched him. Because God said to Adam, didn't he? Adam, where are you? But it took Adam to stand up and say, I'm not a great theologian, I want to say that today. I'm an evangelist, I love to evangelize. And it took this lady's faith to say, it was me. And it goes on to say that she told him the whole story. Have we told Jesus the whole story? Because he knows. He knows everything. This lady reached out and touched the hem of his garment. Tradition, it would have been worn below the knees. I don't believe this lady pushed through a crowd, curtsied before the Lord and touched the hem of his garment. I believe she was on her belly, getting through the crowd, and she could only just reach up and touch the hem of his garment. Don't believe she couldn't have got in. I believe, and I believe one touch from the king changes everything. She would have told him the whole story of guilt, rejection, being a Jewish lady who'd bled. She would have been cast as an outcast, unclean. But Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Be healed of your affliction. Go in peace. I love that. Called her daughter, a lady who felt rejected. And I had this letter. Two years ago. Jesus had dealt with my heart and my mind in Teen Challenge like the demon-possessed man. But there was blood issues. I'd suffered with hepatitis C for 12 years. Same as this lady, blood issue with 12 years. And unknown to me at the time, I didn't realise when I read that chapter of the demon-possessed man, the next chapter was about a lady with blood issues, and I didn't realise at that time what God wanted to do. But I went forward in a mission, and it was a tent mission, a night of, and they were doing a call for healing. So I went forward, and I felt God's dealt to my heart and mind like the demon-possessed man. So I went forward for blood issues, for healing. And this gentleman said to me, he said, Gareth, as a lady pushed through the crowd, who bled for 12 years, you've pushed through the crowd tonight, and Jesus has healed you. Go and get tested. You're clean, right? That's what he said to me. And I had my eyes closed at the time. And that's all I could remember was this is what happened to me. I felt this. Down my body, like water. And I opened my eyes. And do you know what I thought? Somebody viewed me mentioning drugs and hepatitis C. And they've chucked a bucket of water over me. That's what I thought. Where did that come from? I'm in a church. Where did that come from? But I felt woof down my body, and I felt trickling down my heart. So I went to get tested. And this is the letter after being tested that I received. It says, "Dear Mr. Williams, as discussed with you, your recent hepatitis C PCR result has come back as not detected. This is good news as it means you have not got the hepatitis C virus. As you have antibodies, it does mean that you have had the infection at some point, but you have achieved natural clearance. If you have any queries or questions, I have absolutely no hesitation or queries whatsoever. But you have achieved natural clearance in fellowship and in love with the supernatural God. Jesus healed me that day. The Bible isn't fairy tales and fables and make-believe. The same God that touched the demon-possessed man, who touched the lady with blood issues, is still in the business of changing lives today. He's amazing. It goes on to say now that the last thing I need to quickly speak about is love, which is the most important, for God to love the world. It says, Jesus, went with Jairus to the house, and they were all crying and wailing. And it says, Jesus took Peter, John, a couple of the disciples in the house with him, and he says, he got rid of all the wailers and the wailing and all the crying. And that's what Jesus does. He gets rid of things in your life that are not good for you. Jesus goes in and says, listen, out, come on, you've got to go now. Out, come on, you know, simply believe that I can do this. And Jesus has got rid of people in my life and situations. People who would pray, who would cry and wail at my situation. And that's okay, please hear me right. But I want people who are going to pray with me. Paul went down to the shore because he knew he had to face Rome. And there were people there pleading with him not to go. But there were people on this side here praying for him, because he knew what he had to face. And I want people in my life who are going to pray with me. Not cry with me, but pray with me. It says he closed the door. And I was reminded of Out of Kings, chapter 4, verse 4. Elijah goes in, the lady with the oil, shuts the door, he says, and only then begin to pour the oil. Why did he say shut the door and only then begin to pour the oil? Because if neighbours had saw what she was doing, she would have said, are you sure now you need to, you know, tip that little bit of oil out? That's your last bit of oil. You might not have any oil tonight to cook chips. Are you sure you know what you're doing? He said, shut the door and only then begin to pour the oil. Jesus went into the house and he got rid of everyone. And then Jesus then raises the little girl back to life and gives them back to the parents. When God restored me, I was always saying to people, I'm going to go away, sort myself out. And one day, being on the streets, a lady mentioned Teen Challenge. I went there, and for 18 months, I didn't contact anyone. And I came home one day, and I walked up the path, my father's flat. And he looked out the window, and he didn't recognize me. He said, can I help you? He said, it's me, Dad. And he opened the door, and he took his hand, my head in his hands, and he said, my son's home. It doesn't say what happened in this family, because it says there's not enough books in the Bible to record every account. But I truly believe, in my heart of hearts, that through that miracle, people got saved. I've got to believe that. I believe that with all my heart. That was me and my dad. I led my dad to the Lord. For years I was witnessing, sharing with people. My dad had a double heart attack. And I was in the hospital and family were saying to me, he's had a bad life and a you know, and some say he's had a good life and now he'll go to be with your mother and your sisters in heaven. And in my mind I was thinking, if you think God on the day that you die, I feel sorry if you just come in, or don't worry about that, that's okay, just come in. God can do that, but do I truly believe that? That God, I can just do what I want all my life, and then on the day that I die, God will forgive me, or he feels sorry for me. I thought you've got it wrong, and but I couldn't witness, I couldn't share. So I went away to the quiet place, and I said, Lord, why can't I share about my dad? Why can't I share with people? And God spoke to me, and what it was, I'd had a grievance with my brother in the church. And God said this to me, he said, listen, come to the altar, leave your gift at the altar, go make up with your brother, then come back, offer your gift. So I phoned my friend who I hadn't spoken to in 2 years. And I said, listen, forgive me, like. So we spoke. And I went back to the hospital, and my family had gone. It was quiet. And I walked in. My dad was out of the coma. He was in a coma for 11 days. Miracle what had happened. Walked in, and my father went like this to me. And long taking tubes out of his throat. He couldn't speak. He was. So I leaned forward, like, and he went like this to me. He said, I've been with God. So he said to me, this was a guy now who'd lost his wife, lost his two daughters, lost me to addiction for years. If there was ever a God, Gareth, why has this happened? But when God transformed my life and I went back home to my father watched my life for 4 years. See, it's not what we say, it's what we do. That's what people are looking for. They're looking for a changed life. And although I hadn't shared with my dad, God was doing a work on my dad's heart. He said, I've been with God. I said, have you really? I said, what's he said? He said to me, he took me to a mansion and he showed me many rooms. In my father's house is many mansions. He said, one side was, there was darkness. He said, all the things that I'd done wrong. And he started crying. I said, what's the matter? He said, he showed me how angry I'd been and how being drunk and swearing and hurting your children. He said, but then he took me to another side of this mansion and it was light. And your mother was there, and your sisters was there, and there was people singing. And he said, but why am I here? He can't. And I said, Dad, I said, see that gentleman in the hospital bed and that lady and that nurse? I said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. He said, he loves us all. I said, you're here because he wants you to make a decision. He wants you to get right with him. And I prayed with my dad. My dad asked for forgiveness. He asked the Lord into his life, and he... 6 months later, he passed away. But the change that I saw in my dad within that 6 months was amazing. So I really believe through that story, because God loves families. I was single. That's my wedding photo. You know, God has blessed me a wonderful family. And so, yeah, that's what God has done. But where am I today? I'm a window cleaner. Been window cleaning for 5 years. It's not just about the pulpit. It's about the window cleaning. It's about the serving heart. You know, it's the towel and the cross commanding hand. Beautiful home, wonderful wife. Starting to get restoration with my boy now. After 18 years. Days dragged by, but the years can just go like that. But God's starting to restore things and do things. God's a good God. So yeah, speaking to Gary this morning, I'm looking on now working in a children's care home. I grew up in the care home. God's full circled me and he's sending me back. Whom shall I send? Send me, Lord. You know, for people. I've worked with the probation service part-time for 5 years, working with the addicts and the homeless. You know, God is still in the business of opening prison doors today. I think Peter and Silas was in a prison cell in Acts and they were worshipping and praising God whilst they were chained. And he said, everyone listened. That's what he said. Everyone listened. And I think if you do something long enough, and I'd say to you today, if you do something long enough, don't give up. People will listen. People are watching. Family, friends, neighbours. You know, so the miracles that God's done in my life, he hasn't just healed me, set me free, which is wonderful, but the true miracle is he now wants to use me in that field of working and giving to others what God's given to me, just to be there for him. So yeah, thank you for, you know, I hope I've encouraged you this one. I love to encourage people. The world would bring you down and... So thank you for the opportunity of sharing. I give God give God all the glory. Bless you. Thank you, God.
Thank God.
Sorry.